Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. This is a special Tactical Tuesday episode because, as the title said, I'm quitting dropshipping, John. Is that what we're going with here? That is a clickbait title if I've ever seen one, but we're here now.
Well, yeah, that's right. It's all about Ben. Ben and his clickbait headline. He's just so mad for it.
Well, I wanted to talk about this stuff, and I was like, what can we call this? Pivoting is good? Seize the moment? Or Ben is quitting dropshipping? Which one sounds better to you, John?
Ben is quitting dropshipping sounds better, but is it really true, Ben? Is it really true?
Yeah, it's more...
Tell us if it's true.
It can't be the I don't know, we'll get into it too, but the main dropshipping store I have, I can't be my main focus right now, and I think you'll understand why by the time we get through this podcast that, sometimes opportunity comes knocking and you have to take advantage of it when it's there.
Yeah, cool, man. Well, tell us, what's happening?
All right, so if you are a friend of the show, you've likely heard me talk about how I had a very, very good friend of mine come to me and say, I can't do this anymore. I can't do my job anymore. Please, will you teach me what you do? I will work for peanuts. And he literally worked for peanuts. I feel bad, but he was like, look, I'll work for peanuts. I want to learn what you do. And so I went and bought a 24-year-old domain for, I want to say it was like $5,000. And I bought it from Otis. John, have you heard of Otis? O-D-Y-S. I think it's .com or .co or .io. Basically, they buy expiring domains and keep them live, keep the pages with all the backlinks to it, keep them live so you don't lose any rank in Google. So I bought this very, very powerful domain, and I brought my friend in. I said, you're going to build this thing. I'm gonna basically coach you the entire way, but you're going to do all of the work here, and hopefully by the end of it, you understand what we do, you understand how I do what I do, and my specific methods around SEO and content and things like that. So I brought him in, and these products, they played a specific role for me. So it's very much around like wellness. And for the last couple of years, I've been really struggling with my health. I spent a year working out twice a day, sending 2 photos a day to my coach, and losing 0 pounds. Can you imagine a guy who weighs 350 bills plus not losing any weight when he's exercising twice a day? That's really hard to do. And so I found a doctor who narrowed it down, found what it was. My insulin levels were through the roof. I was, pre-metabolic syndrome or whatever it's called, slowly been working on that. But through the process, I met a lot of 1%ers at my masterminds who were deep into health. They care greatly. Most of the best entrepreneurs I've ever met care way more about health than they care about business, because if you don't have your health, you can't have your business, right? And so they focused a lot on some products that, maybe were woo-woo 5 years ago. They're just starting to get mainstream now, and there's nobody really out there representing this. And so that's where I went. I went after it. We started building that last year. It took a while to get off the ground, right? Because my friend, his name's Ben as well. Ben is a beginner to this, and took some time to get going, but we invested a lot of effort into SEO, right? So 100% unique content on the site. All product pages are built out to my specifications. Collection pages are built out to my specifications. Many best pages, as we often talk about. Many versus pages, as we often talk about. Tough space, but we're on our way to something amazing over there. Last month, 70,000 impressions, 532 clicks, a couple sales from the organic clicks as well. And the roadmap is simple: more content, more brands, more links. And I feel like this whale. Like, I was really going after a whale. I knew it would take a while, and it's been a little slower than expected. I would say high ticket dropshipping is a little tougher with supply chains being the way they are from COVID, but it was profitable, right? So last 10 months in that business, we did 203,000 in revenue in our first 10 months. If I take my buddy's salary out of there, which I think is fair, as anybody who buys this, they're going to run this business. They don't need him. He's not coming with, by the way, anyway. $17,000 profit. That is 8.5% profit margins. I also was paying my business partner, Layton, to do a ton of coding, because again, I was planning to run this for the next 5-10 years. And I also hired my friend Karina to start running social, so that would send social signals and help our SEO. And I think you could pull that back out. You don't have to, but if you pull that back out, again, if you're running this business, if you're high ticket dropshipping, you're likely doing all of this stuff yourself in the beginning. And so that would be $21,669 profit in the first 10 months, which is pretty good. I'd be pretty happy with that as a solopreneur. And so I was pretty happy with this business. and I still am very happy with this business. However, I was at E-Commerce Fuel Live a few weeks ago in Virginia. My friend Garrett Akerson was there. I met him at a mastermind. He is the founder of Kindred Bravely. They make nursing bras and products for pregnant women. They recently exited for a very large figure. They also kept a bunch of equity, and I believe he's almost done with his, you know, being CEO for a couple of years, and he's going to exit with that little bit of equity for the same price he exited the big part of equities. And so I take his advice very seriously. He's worked very, very hard for what he has. And he looked at me and he just started saying, you know, what's the problem of scaling my pets brand? And I started saying, here's one problem we have. And then he would immediately solve it. Like good coaches do. He would be like, well, why don't you just do this? And I'd be like, oh yeah, but what about this? And I would immediately just step in my own way. And I would find reasons for me not to do the work that's quite painfully obvious needs to be done. We started talking about what the market looked like. A brand recently exited that's very similar to mine for $610 million. And another brand recently exited for $130 million. That's very similar to mine. And someone I know very closely, I introduced them to one of my suppliers. They're going to do $10 million on one product that I introduced them to this year. And that was like the final kick in the nuts of like, what are you doing? You need to focus. And so I think my entire career, I've been in multiple businesses. And I think I'm doing it as a way to prevent myself, like almost like a fear of success. I'm sure a lot of people have heard of fear of failure, but I think it's more of like a fear of success with me. I'm finding ways to not have to go into, you know, waters I've never been into, right? So I've taken a brand to eight figures, but that was with multiple partners. I was on the make it rain side of things. Well, you know, this business, I'm the majority shareholder. I'm the founder. I'm going to have to learn a lot of things. And so I think I was getting my own way. So long story short, Garrett convinced me, you got to focus here. You got to let that go. You got to, you know, the dropship business is great and it's doing well and it's on pace to do great things, but it doesn't have the immediate potential that the pets brand does. And so I think I'm going to sell it, John. And I think I'd like to stay similar to a relationship I've had in the past where, you know, let's get on a call once a week, kind of like I do with my consulting clients. Let's get on a call once a week, have access during Slack throughout the week. But I can't put my full focus here. I need to put my full focus into an opportunity that is just too great to ignore.
Yeah, cool. So I think if people haven't, I mean, obviously people have probably heard you mention the pet supplement stuff a little bit on the podcast before. Tell us a bit more about that. Like, what actually is that business? And like, how does it work?
Hey, just want to jump in here real quick and say, if you're loving this show, the number one thing you can do to help us out is simply go to Spotify or iTunes or whatever you're listening on and smash that follow button, that subscribe button, and leave us a review. It really does help us reach more people. And if you've got a friend that you know should be listening to this, send the podcast over to them. We'd love to have them join us as well. And real quick, two quick resources I have for you. If you want to join us in our free Facebook group, you can find that at facebook.com/groups/dropship tribe, or just search the Dropship Tribe. And we also have a paid version of this podcast where you can get even more of John and I in longer form content. You can find that on Patreon at patreon.com/dropshippodcast. All right, back to the show. It's kind of funny, if I'm honest, John. In 2016, FBA was all the rage back then, right? Amazon FBA. If you've never heard of it, it's fulfillment by Amazon. I think we have an upcoming episode where we're comparing dropshipping versus Amazon FBA for beginners. And I had been coerced by a couple gentlemen who knew I sold my first business, and they were like, hey, why don't you give us some money and we'll give you 10% of this adult coloring book business. That turned out to be a awful partnership, but a great business that, you know, I got a nice payday out of the deal, but I learned a lot of lessons about partnerships in that one. Maybe we should do a show on that sometime in the future, John. If you're a Patreon listener, you've heard me rant about this before, but through that, I got interested in what is private labeling? What does it look like to have your own brand? What does it cost to have your own brand? And so I was listening to a bunch of podcasts, and one day I heard a podcast talk about the $500 challenge that you could not, in 2016, you could no longer start an Amazon FBA brand for $500 for less. That was dead. In fact, Amazon FBA was dead. And I have no idea why that day that podcast stuck in my head, but I was like, you know what? I can do it. And I'll do it right now. And so I stopped whatever I was doing that day. I started doing research. I found a product that fit the criteria I needed as far as like, here's a real opportunity. And I went to Google, it took me about 20 minutes to find the manufacturer, and their minimum order quantity was 12. And I was like, oh, this is it right here, right? So I went to Upwork, I hired a guy. He created the ugliest label you've ever seen, which you could still see on my website, comparing the old versus the new. And I launched it with 12 bottles. Actually, I think I ordered 24 bottles to start. And that was it. It immediately took off because I did the research correctly on Amazon. And by took off, I mean, you know, what really happens is it's a slow roll, right? The next order was 48, the next order was 100, and the next order was 150. And you never have any fucking money because you're rolling over your cash constantly to buy more stock and make more sales and not run out on Amazon, which was a bigger deal back then than it is now. And so I'm going along slowly there. Amazon's really growing that business, and I'm focusing on dropshipping hardcore. Back then, I was helping scale a business with Corey Eckert very, very quickly. And somewhere right around there, my cat, which I'm a huge cat guy, by the way. Love my cat. He would jump in the window.
Hey.
Oh, God, get out of here. He would jump in the window and he would look at birds and he would jump back out of the window and come running over to me, you know, in the recliner or wherever to, you know, get petted. And when he would jump out of the window, he started limping. And I, you know, if you have a pet at home and you start seeing them get old, like, that shit sucks. That really, really sucks. And I've had Leo since he was a kitten. So that was the first sign of him like, oh no, he's not going to be around forever. And I noticed my manufacturer also carried a glucosamine product. Which the first one I launched was a glucosamine for dogs. They also had one for cats. And I noticed only one person was selling that product from them. So I bought it. I bought it online. I gave it to my cat. And holy, like within 3 days, his limping was gone. He started running around chasing the laser pointer again. And I was like, oh, we're onto something here, right? So I spoke with my manufacturer. How can we get this done for my brand? And very shortly after that, I launched that product with his face on it. So all of a sudden, I have meaning in this business, right? So newsflash, I don't like dogs. Don't tell anyone. I don't like dogs. I really don't like dogs. They're okay. I got bit when I was young. That probably did something to me, you know, and I just don't like dogs. And so to have a product that actually hit home with me, with my cat, that brought in some ownership. Again, I let Amazon grow this for the most part, and I've never really put in my full attention. What am I good at, John? I'm good at SEO. I'm good at Google AdWords. I'm good at driving traffic. I'm good at building love your customer sequences. I'm good at building a customer journey and an experience. And I didn't do any of that for this business. It just sat there and Amazon grew it and grew it and grew it. In fact, last year, Amazon broke $500,000 in sales. Well, I'm literally doing nothing but making sure Amazon continues to have product. Then we got into Chewy and immediately it took off on Chewy. And then our website really started taking off this year. In fact, today we crossed the revenue that we did last year. We crossed that number today. So less than 4 months into the year, we've already crossed last year's revenue so triple the pace on only double the traffic. So like we've really cleaned up conversions. This product really works, which again, you'll hear me harp on product. And so, we're at Cape Canaveral and the ship's taken off. And so like somebody needs to steer this rocket ship to the moon and really take advantage of this opportunity that's right in front of us. And to throw a little icing on the cake, that company that exited for $610 million exited at like a 25x multiple, John. You don't get those multiples in any other space other than jewelry, pets, SaaS, things like that. And so the opportunity is real. And I have to go out. I can't ignore this. I can't ignore what's right in front of me. It has nothing to do with whether I think dropshipping is viable or not. I just showed you the numbers on that business. I'd be pretty happy if that was my business in year one. And it, you know, obviously it is. And anyone listening to this would be thrilled to have a $200,000 a year business that profited them $20,000 last year. But I have to go after this real opportunity in front of me.
Yeah. Cool. Good story.
Well, I want to share just a couple lessons that hopefully you can take from this. I truly believe big, and I mean big opportunities, they don't come very often in your life. They do come, and I think they come for every single person, and whether you are open to seeing them or not is completely on you. I think there's a lot of people in this world who are negative and don't believe anything's good is going to happen to them, and so when that stuff shows up, it just passes them right by. I want to believe that I'm an eternal optimist, and I'm always thinking about positivity. And so I see this one quite clear. And I think this is one of the moments, you know, I've had a few in my life and I've capitalized on them and I don't want to miss this one. I try to spend time thinking about, you know, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now, when I look back, what am I going to hate that I did today? What am I going to look back and be like, oh, you know, I should have treated the kids better. I should have been softer with one of the kids, or I should have taught them a lesson rather than yelling at them, which, you know, happens probably more than we'd all like to admit. But also, when did business opportunity come by that I either took advantage of and I shouldn't have, or I'm going to regret, like this one specifically, I'm going to regret if I don't go all in here. And so while I'm not quitting dropshipping, I know that was a fun little title here, I have to go after this opportunity. And I really hope that this teaches people that pivoting is good. There is a lot of people in our audience who have 2, 3, 4 dropshipping stores. And I really believe that while that's probably great and fitting their lifestyle currently, that if they really wanted to take one of those to eight figures, they would have to, you know, as my friend would say, don't let a nickel hold up a dollar. They're going to have to move some of those aside so that they can focus and really take one of these to the moon. The eight figure business I was part of, that was the only thing those two gentlemen were working on. And that was the only drop shipping store I was working on at the time, really, really focused on it. John, I know you've been with some companies that have been at eight figures. Were they running multiple stores at the time or were they focused?
Yeah, more focused for sure. And I think when you get to that, when you're getting into that realm of multiple seven figures and you know, you're on track to, you know, to keep pushing past that up towards that eight figure mark for a high ticket dropshipping business, I think you have to be, there's just the effort required to get there. And there's a number, when you get into that realm and making that next jump, there's a bunch of things that you as a business owner need to do to continue pushing that on, which are outside of the realms of just managing your ads or doing that sort of lower level stuff, that I just don't think you can focus on them enough. Like, you have to build partnerships, you know, you have to do this, you have to do that. And so I think if your attention's on three or four stores, it's really difficult to do that. So, I mean, this is certainly, I've learned this lesson in different ways myself, but yes, I'm definitely, a lot of people talk about, and it's a question we get often when people first come to dropshipping, oh, how many stores should I start? In fact, I think we did I did a YouTube video on this recently. We've probably talked about it here on this show as well. You know, people often ask early on, oh, should I start two or three stores? Should I start, you know, multiple stores at the same time? Should I do this? Should I do that? And I think early on in my journey, I thought that was a good idea, but these days I don't think it is. I think you really do need to be able to focus, not necessarily only on one thing, but you need to limit the number of things you're focused on, and you need to protect your attention. You know, certainly I've been all over the place. You know, I've been a coach, I've been managing ads, I've been running dropshipping businesses, I've been building a course. And I did that all at the same time. Like, going back a couple of years, I was doing all of that at the same time. And honestly, doing none of it as well as I could have been doing a couple of individual things. And so over the last 2 to 3 years, particularly, I've really paid attention to bringing down the number of things I'm working on, right? So it's a lot smaller now than it used to be. And lo and behold, the results in those things that I am focused on are getting better and better, right? And the quality of what I'm doing in those spaces is getting better and better. And I feel a lot better. I probably feel less stressed as well, right? Like, mental health-wise, if you're focused on too many things, mental health-wise, it just sucks, man. You're stressed. You're constantly worried that you're missing things, that you're not on top of things. Like, and you just don't need that in your life. That's going to guarantee that your kind of life expectancy in the business space is significantly reduced. Like, the chance that you're just going to have a mental breakdown, chuck your hands up in the air and quit is significantly increased if you just never feel on top of things, if you're constantly stressed. And I think that's the worst thing that could possibly happen to you. So yeah, I think, I mean, you know, I totally get the direction you're going in here, and I think it'll be a great thing. And if you're listening in and either you've got multiple businesses or you're thinking about starting multiple businesses, have a good hard think about this. Like, particularly if you're running multiple businesses and you don't feel that any of them are doing as well as they could, that might literally be part of the problem, is that you just need to slim it down, pick the biggest opportunity that you have or that you think you have, or get some advice as to what it is and cut the rest out. Like, literally, I mean, sell a store, sell two stores, whatever, or just cut down your time there. And that could just in and of itself make a significant difference to your overall results. I mean, you know, pushing one store to eight figures is better than having three stores that are doing six figures a year in revenue. You know what I mean? And yeah, so it's a big lesson, and it's a really important one. And so people will say, oh, what about diversification? Isn't it good to have multiple stores in different niches, you know, in case something goes wrong with one? And look, I mean, there's something to that argument, but that comes after you've already built something great, I think. And you've got it under management or something like that. You know, you've cut down your time involvement in the business. You know, a couple of episodes back, we talked to our friend John Murphy about this. You know, his high ticket dropshipping business, he's got down to spending 10 hours a week of his time on that business, or maybe even less. That's a good, and it's successful. It's making great returns, blah, blah, blah. That's a good time to throw something into the mix, right? Because you're not you're not so committed to that in a time sense and a focus sense, you know? So maybe, yeah, at that point. But when you're trying to grow significantly, when you're trying to build, doing it at two or three different places at once is, I don't know that it's possible, really, truly. To get the best result out of any of those things, you just can't do it. It's too much.
And have some self-awareness. I think the big thing for me was that night talking to Garrett in this really loud room, by the way, in ECF. Like, after he solved every one of my problems that I brought forward, I realized it was me. I was just putting all these things in front of me to avoid going after what was right in front of me. I was finding a way to sabotage myself. And so have some self-awareness and ask yourself, are you putting limits on yourself? Are you finding ways to distract yourself so you don't have to go after what's actually really hard and right in front of you? So I would ask that. And look, I want to tie a bow on this by saying, I'm not going anywhere. Like, I want to be part of this business when it sells. Hopefully, you know, just doing some quick math, somewhere 40 to 60K would be a nice little exit here. And I'd love to maintain some percentage because I want to keep my foot in this dropshipping arena for sure. I also have multiple consulting clients that are all high ticket dropshippers. And so I want to make sure, like, you know, I ain't going anywhere, and you're not going to get any less of John and I on this podcast or on YouTube, or, you know, for our students doing the weekly calls, whether it's in the group or in Slack, whatever it is. Like, I'm not going anywhere here. I need to focus on one e-commerce business at the moment and put most of my focus there, and still be able to give my consulting clients and this course and our students and this podcast and the YouTube channel and everything else, like, the love it deserves. So I'm not going anywhere.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image, and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.